Okay, here we are. Thank you for coming tonight. It's Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock, and this is HBM Revisited. And we're going to do Chapter 11, Part 2 tonight. We started it last week, and it was just a big enough meal that we needed to spread it across a couple of weeks. Chapter 11 is called Repair of the Machine. And just to get us refreshed, Mike, can you read the header of the chapter if you have it available?
Yeah, I got it here. Chapter 11, The Repair of the Machine. Because life experiences mnemonically stored in the muscles of the body have distorted the electrical feel of the machine, repair of these anomalies in the general electric feel are necessary in order for the machine to function efficiently as a transformational apparatus.
Okay. And those who are both on the phone and on the computer, if you can turn your volume down on the computer, it'd be very helpful. So this is where we find ourselves then. We found ourselves in Chapter 10, and if we recall, Chapter 10 is called The Machine as an Electrical Field. We discovered the fact and looked at ourselves suddenly, not just a body or as a package of mindsets or ideas, but rather and emotions, but this is an electrical field that we are part of. Okay, so that's the case. If we are an electrical field and actually beginning to see ourselves in that manner, a number of things happen. First of all, you start to break the identification with the machine, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just seeing it. This is the package that I came in. They FedExed me into or something. Mm-hmm. So if that's it, and then you're moving through this world, you're moving through this world, in a sense, as an electrical field. And in earlier chapters, we talked about things like observing the machine. What is the machine like? What does it do? What have you studied about it and found out? So now, in Chapter 11, we come to this conversation about repair of the machine. Now, I'll give you a little preview. In Chapter 12, do we remember the title of Chapter 12? So Chapter 12 is the essential self as an electrical field. How unusual. So we have the machine as an electrical field, and then in a couple of chapters we're introduced to the essential self. So we are posed, and we've posed this question in the last few chapters, what is transformation then? What is transformation, and how does it work for me in a sense? So, and part of what we discovered is the transformation in part has to do with the interplay between the electrical field called the human biological machine, now the electrical field called self. The reason I'm giving that introduction a little bit is because this chapter that we're on now, 11, is called Repair of the Machine. And as we read last week in some of the very first paragraph, it says, even if the machine is awake, which we talked about what that means earlier, if there's these electrical anomalies, what happens? So do we recall? So turn down the volume on your computer if you have that up. And so do we recall what is an electrical anomaly then? We talked about that last week. Anybody, please. So an anomaly, in part, is something where the electrical field of the machine, now we're talking about the machine, we're talking about repair of the machine, where there's a disruption in the field, in that electrical field. Now, if there is such a disruption, and we want to use it as a transformational apparatus, then it's not as effective as it could be, right? That was the whole play in the last couple of weeks here. We have an electrical field, and because of its anomalies, is that on you on the chat? So, as what did, can you read what Pion just said there? Mike?
Oh, yeah. A resistance to the flow of current in the field.
Oh, yeah.
An anomaly, a resistance to the flow in the flow of a current in the field. I'm still getting feedback on my phone here. I don't know if anybody's got their computer up.
Okay, well, you might have to go mute. I don't know what that is, though. So it's a resistance in the flow of energy. Ultimately, what we're working with here is the very delicate interplay of the energies that we're talking about. We're talking about working with energy. But before we can do that, we need to begin, it'll help us to begin seeing ourselves in this different manner. To see ourselves, let's say, as an electrical field moving through the world. I suggested that as a exercise for folks, and I was wondering if anybody took that on at all or tried that. Just standing in a different viewpoint for yourself. And you walk through life like that. For myself, I love to hear if anybody has that commentary, but for myself, that is a constant functioning way that I work. So
describe that again, David, the way you do that.
Okay, so what we're trying to do is get a sense of ourselves as an electrical field. I'm not just David or, look in the mirror and I go, oh yeah, that's me. Or I'm not my set of thoughts. I'm an electrical field moving through the world, literally in that manner. So if I'm sensing that and I can sense that and I can hold that sensing, I see the world differently because I see as this electrical field moves forward, I notice it has certain effects. And the world has certain effects on it.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make sense?
What kind of effects do you think you see on that?
Tell me what effects that you've seen.
Well,
or others, anybody.
Perhaps a visual effects, perhaps.
Okay.
Changes in light or changes
good.
In heat, sensory properties, perhaps. Perhaps a feeling of a buzz, buzzing.
What do you
buzzing,
mean by a buzz?
A buzzing feeling.
What do you mean by a buzz?
Well, I don't know if other people are sensitive to the 60-cycle hum that is quite prominent now in the Wi-Fi. A lot of homes are experiencing it, and you walk into sometimes a cafe, and you'll hear this high-pitched tone. And that's an electrical field also happening. And so I'm kind of equating my own internal buzzing to perhaps a 60-cycle hum.
what we're talking about here is establishing a different way of viewing the world. We want to take the blinders of our eyes off and apart, and we want to see and experience the world in a different way. We can do that right now. What I'm noticing in some of the work I'm doing, even with my clients at this point, is that the people's machines are stuck. But it's not like they're stuck in anything unusual. They're just stuck in the habit of thinking in a certain way. Sometimes, with the slightest little word, they can begin to see things in a whole new manner. Mm. If you can, in a sense, get them at the right moment, they can see something so new and was right there all along.
That's exciting. If you can get somebody to stop their identification or
I can.
Something.
I can, mm-hmm. And I'm confident we all can. But we have to get into that different space of, and it's where you're not identified. What does it mean to be identified with a machine as a machine? What you're normally, what was the historical personality created for? What happened? How did we learn how to run the darn thing? Where did we learn how to run it? You know, where did you learn to run that thing?
Oh, I didn't. I did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Because you're still alive.
I'm still alive. So,
you learned how to run it.
Yeah. I would say that I was well into my 20s before I even had any kind of a clue about anything.
But when you were 6 or 5 or 3, you were picking up data
mm-hmm.
about how to function as a machine.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get food?
Oh, yeah.
How do you?
Oh, right from the womb.
Where
know?
Did you learn that?
Yeah.
How did you learn that?
Yeah.
Can I say something, David?
Sure, please.
Today I was thinking about ways that you could actually discern the sleeping machine, and my thinking took me all the way back to the minute you're born, you're not conscious. You're still attached to the cord. You haven't had the first in-breath, and that is a sleeping machine. And so we learn, the question you're asking Mary Ann, we learn immediately once somebody slaps you on the rear end, you learn that if you scream, the slapping might stop. And then it goes on from there. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. What happens is we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. So we don't then go pick up the manual and start reading how to do it. We don't know how to read. We don't know how to even hear. We don't understand. So what do? We just open our eyes and we look around and go, how does that one do it? How does that thing do it? And gradually you learn what works and what doesn't work. It's very fundamental. When do we ever unlearn that stuff? Never.
Well, that's pretty much kind of a trial and error. Are you saying a trial and error approach?
When we're at that age, of course it is. Mm-hmm. We've seen kids, and they learn, and they learn when to stop talking, when to think. There was this this book I'm reading on education, and this guy tells us this great story of a teacher. And there's a student, and the student is pretty poor at almost every single subject except art. So in this particular day, the art class started, and this poor student is sitting at the back of the room. Art class started, and the teacher noticed the student just engrossed in her work. She was just, whatever she was doing, working very diligently. And the teacher calls out and goes, Mary, what are you drawing back there that you're so interested in? And without looking up and without pausing, little Mary says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher says, wait a minute, nobody knows what God looks like. And Mary says, well, they will in a couple of minutes. without hesitating. There were no limits to that young person. They say that in these young kids, they ask, who's creative? Every child in the room raises their hand. Fast forward to 21 years old and you're in college or graduate school, and they say, how many people are creative? A small handful raise their hand. What happened? Because we take on the historical personality, we learn how to live, and that's what we do, and we're done. Now, what we're talking about is a different function altogether, is changing that and becoming, discovering an interplay between our essential self. Now, I venture to say that every single person on this line has felt the energy of somebody around them at one time in their life. What does that mean, you felt it? Was that a taste? Was that a touch? Was that a smell? Was it a visual? Was it the fifth sense, which I can't remember right now? Huh? No.
Smell.
Is what?
Did you get...
No.
Smell. Did you get smell?
Smell. No. Sight. Smell. Touch.
Taste.
Taste.
What was felt was the electrical field of the other person.
Wait a minute, Sandra. We're hearing. Thank you. We were stuck on. We can't even get out of the machine yet. Now the sixth sense, and can you repeat what you just said, Sandra, please?
I said what you feel is the resonation of the other energy field.
The resonation of the other
you
energy
feel?
Field.
Mm-hmm. So it's
yes.
Not one of those five senses?
No, it's not.
It isn't? Well, what is it that you're, what do you mean then you're feeling the energy of the other person? I don't get it.
Well, it's sensing. I guess it is some sort of feeling, but you don't like that word, so I'm not going to go there.
At that moment, and everybody here, there's 35 people in the room here, by the way, and everybody here has said they've had that sensation. They've had that experience. Everybody has. But we don't give it credence, do we?
No.
They say, oh, yeah, I felt that. Well, what felt it? It's your electrical field.
Well, we might say it, but we don't really question it to find out what we're really talking about.
We don't put our attention on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about in Chapter 11 in Repair of the Machine. Let's place our attention on this for once. So we go forward into the world. Everybody has had this. And the more finely tuned you are, the more accurate, the more subtle that force is, the more able you are to pick that up, right?
And use it in other places, or I would say notice it in other locations. You may not be feeling like you're doing anything, but you're noticing.
So let's say here you are, this electrical cloud, walking through the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're at the supermarket. Most of the time, all you're doing is you're just so involved in yourself, you barely can recognize anybody around you or notice anything. And you're just going, I need to get the potatoes. And you go get the potatoes. But what if there's an electrical field moving through that event? A different world then, isn't it? A very different world. When you're in that world long enough, you start to notice very different things. You'll see somebody across the room and you'll notice that they're awake, whatever that means. But you know it. There's a sense of certainty to that perception. But you can't do it from the machine, because the machine is worried about, are you going to eat me or not? Or can I eat you? Something similar to that.
Have you heard the or experienced when somebody walks in the room and they have a certain something? And that's what people say. Oh, they have a certain something. They walk in the room and everybody's head turns towards them. And they just, they walk in, they're just confident. But they have a certain something, is what people say.
They have a certain something. And if the five senses don't pick that up, something picks it up. And that's, you're noticing their electrical signature, in a sense. You're noticing their electrical signatures. Now, Leonjo said a couple of weeks ago that he noticed the electrical energy. In fact, I think I have it right here. Actually, I do. And it says, excellent question. Can everyone sense the communal energy we are sharing more deeply each time we meet?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? I think he's in a foreign nation called Texas. Mike is way out there.
Oh, we got a comment. We got a comment from Piangio tonight. He said, Sanders said about cutting the umbilical cord, he said, could it be said that the historical personality's function is to survive, to be able to later awaken? And Silverdale agreed and said, we must be known before we can learn about the unknown. That is, the life of the phenomenal self embedded within the machine.
So the essential self is embedded within the machine, and there's an opportunity for it to develop, to transform, to be something other than it is. It's not awake or asleep. We'll see that more fully next week. So many, many, many philosophers and pundits have indicated that it's not the sleeping machine isn't there in itself to be awakened. The idea of the machine is that it can act as a transformational apparatus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it is an electrical field, and it certainly, most certainly is, and it's going to act as a transformational apparatus, now we hear in Chapter 11, it needs repair. What could that mean?
Well, I wanted to go back right to the beginning where it says, because life experiences,
mm-hmm,
mnemonically stored in the machine as a body, have disturbed the electrical field of the machine. So life experiences have made a mess of things.
They can if they had no idea how to process them, a traumatic event. I remember very distinctly, I was very, very young, and it was during summer, and we were playing, all the cousins would get together, it'd be like 10 of us, and one of the mothers would take charge of us for a week or so, and we'd just sit there, and we used to play Monopoly for days on end, or other card games, things like that. And then we'd break, and we'd go out and swing on the swings. So there was one day when we did that, a couple of cousins went out in front of me, and as I went out, the dog jumped up and bit me on the neck. Okay? So that was an experience that for the longest time I wasn't able to process in any way, shape, or form. I couldn't even face it. It didn't exist for me. It was so traumatic in a sense. So as you start to look at these things, you can break them loose And what does it mean that I started to break it loose? Oh, I have an answer. Okay. Now, we're on the new, in the new edition here, we're on chapter 11, the new edition of The Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus by E.J. Gold. I'm on page 96. And there's been a bit of conversation about using the GSR galvanic skin response meter. And I'm reading on paragraph 3. Actually, I'll start with paragraph 2 of that page 96. We can determine whether an electrical blockage was eliminated completely and permanently by response indicated on the meter. Now, we can intentionally, repeatedly stimulate, according to an exact sequential plan, definite portions of the brain and the nervous system, thus eliminating local distortions in the electrical field, which are, when they are active, measurable as electrical anomalies, having definite and tangible electrical effects and phenomena. I'm going to continue. If the muscles are impacted with electrical barriers, which are activated, listen carefully, by the machine's defense mechanism against the waking state, then we should see a larger response of the meter. When we have eliminated the distortions in the field, we will have disarmed the defense mechanism, and the machine will naturally remain in the waking state unless we intentionally produce the sleeping state for purposes of rest and conservation of work energies. Thoughts? It's right there. Right there in the book. So can someone interpret that for me in their daily life? How would you work with that? You don't have a meter. What would you do? What does it mean? Intentionally, repeatedly stimulate. Is Sama online tonight? No? Okay. Intentionally and repeatedly stimulate. Did you find it?
Mm-mm. Oh, this one. Yeah, I did.
Okay. What page is it?
64.
64 at the bottom. Thank you, Mike. So here we are in electrical field.
Well, the exact sequential plan, that sort of makes me have a question. What's that, the exact sequential plan?
You're the lone survivor of a shipwreck. And all you have is this book, and nobody else survived.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do? You've now thought about this for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, not going to have a meter. We're on a shipwreck.
No meter.
No meter.
Plenty of food, plenty of fresh water, but no boat, no meter. Just this book.
And no other person to help you stimulate, because another person could really be helpful.
What do you mean? Why? Why do you say that?
Well, they might, if there's a defense mechanism against the waking state, as soon as I approach it by myself, I'm probably not going to get there. I'm going to need some outside, something out from the outside.
So another shipwreck. And your nemesis, who you are sailing away from, is the sole survivor of that other shipwreck, and there you are. How would you then use that?
Now that would be real work.
What do you mean by that? We all sense that. We all have a sense that that's the case. What do we mean? Let's take it to the next level of attention. What do we mean by it? Let's push it a little ahead there. Anybody, please. repeatedly stimulate. Intentionally, repeatedly stimulate. Let's say that you have, like I do, you have a visceral and negative response. Dare I say it out loud?
Oh, say.
Should
oh,
I?
Please say.
Oh, I was just going to write it down here. To like people who, when you're eating a meal with them, and they chew loudly and with their mouth open.
Mm.
Drives me nuts. So what if I'm fortunate enough to know somebody that predictably will do that? Now, is my what if my intention, if I was just a sleepy machine, my intention is to get them to change their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or to avoid them at all costs. But what if I'm trying to clear an electrical anomaly that is stuck there for some reason? It's just another sound, isn't it? Isn't it just another sound?
That was hard because it's so ingrained in our culture. On, you know, there's a lot of training that you
yeah.
could have gotten when you were little. And
training,
mm-hmm.
culture,
mm-hmm.
our culture, not in many other cultures.
Mm-hmm. But our culture.
What is trained? The sleeping machine. It's trained to think, this is good, that's bad. So I'm stuck in that. So when I see that, then I have what? What happens to me? What happens to my electrical field?
I would say that's getting a charge.
It gets stimulated,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I want to do when it gets stimulated and I can't handle that energy? What do I want to do at that moment? Get away from it.
Get rid of it.
Why do I want to get rid
it.
Of it? Because I don't know what to do with it. I don't have any sense of what to do with it. Since I don't know what to do with it, get rid of it. So, we can find these things for each of ourselves. Each of ourselves, we can find out how that works. And then, carefully, if all you have is yourself and this book on this island, is then to find ways carefully and safely to re-stimulate in areas, and the machine starts to learn. And then when it clears and you start seeing it's just another sound, it's not someone trying to do something to me, or why are they getting away with that and I can't do it? You're not dealing with that. What you're doing is you're just noticing it. And we look at practical work on self and ideas of parting the Red Sea, Chapter 2, and it just moves through us as something else.
I have this, I've had this experience at my house recently where my roommate got a little chihuahua. And whenever I come up the stairs, the chihuahua barks in a shrill bark at me. And because the dog's not there all the time, so the dog has already taken over the idea that it's the guard dog of the house. So if I come upstairs, the dog barks at me, and I'm not prepared for that. I mean, I really literally feel like I'm going out of my skin, you know, and I actually noticed the other day that I got goosebumps, you know, that that when that happens, it's such a shock to my system. It just happened to me with this dog out here.
And if we say something like that to our friends, we say, and your friends say, oh yeah, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say it to somebody working on themselves, working to eliminate the electrical anomalies that they have, what would they say? What's a different way of looking at this yappy, lousy dog that comes and bites
mm-hmm.
you, da-da-da-da-da, and all those things?
Mm-hmm.
What's another way of looking at it?
Instead of saying, I know what you mean, is that what you're contrasting?
people just commiserate. That's the word.
Oh, okay.
They just go, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. That happens to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of saying, like, that's the normal response. It is the normal response to the sleeping machine and the way it works. But what if we're trying to work with this paragraph? What if we're trying to work with this paragraph in this book, and it says, intentionally, repeatedly stimulate?
Mm-hmm. Well, I keep thinking of that sentence as akin to, in other terminology, polishing the stone. It's a pearl being
good.
Formed, and there's a grain of sand in there, and all of that stuff is the irritant.
The matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Getting, you know, rubbing the matrix off is another way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about it in strict electrical terms. When you come up the stairs and the dog perceives you, what does it do? Just like a mechanical dog that you push the button, it starts yapping. Like another mechanical doll, you react in a very predictable manner, and everybody says, oh yeah, that's how it's supposed to work. What if the next time you walk up those stairs, you go, oh my gosh, I have an opportunity here like no other. And you walk up those stairs, and the dog starts to yap, and you just watch this thing. You watch the electrical field move through it.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole key, is to remember that I'm walking up the stairs, and the dog is going to be there. You know, that is the awake part.
Well,
instead of mechanically walking up the stairs.
Exactly. If we are in mechanicality all the time, we have few hope. We have very little hope. But we're not.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be here if that's the case. We're players in the game. How do we get a little further? So you see something like this. We see an opportunity with a yapping dog, in your case, when you're at home. Watch it. You know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a predictable event. How can I use that? Right? Do others have anything similar to that? Do others have a similar event?
An event that they can use to do some sensing, I guess. As a sensing exercise?
Well, I mean, can you just identify right now something that you know you're always reactive? You share a ride with somebody on the way to work, and they always just yap their head off. Mm-hmm. Or they like the country western station, you like headbanger, hard rock. And as we go through this, it's not always important to fully understand these concepts. It's not important to understand fully the concept of the machine as an electrical field, or what even this idea of the electrical anomaly means, or how does transformation occur. But what's important here is to struggle with that, to wrestle with the concepts, to kind of like let it into your field of awareness, so that your attention suddenly is something different and you're working with it, and you go, I don't know what he meant by that. Because every once in a while, you're going to go, ah, there it is.
There will be an aha moment.
There'll be an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
if you bring this to life. For instance, let's say somebody that's learning how to, I use this a lot, this learning how to juggle. The idea isn't that suddenly you know how to juggle. It's struggling with it, because every second you do it, the first 500 times are generating concepts in your system that you can't get unless you do it.
Mm-hmm. when I was learning to juggle, the first instruction was just to throw the ball up and down about 500 times. So you know the weight of the ball, you know how high it's going, and pretty soon you try to get that consistent.
Feel your hand,
mm-hmm.
what does it mean to throw,
mm-hmm.
what the actual muscles. I guarantee you, if you actually do that, you're fulfilled and your attention is engrossed in that activity. There's an interesting book, oh, it came out, I think, in the 60s, called Zen and the Art of Archery or something like that. I can't remember. Harrigal, I think, is the author's name. The Art of Zen Archery, something. And the guy was an American, but he had gone to Japan to learn archery. And the book goes on. About halfway through the book, he's talking about how he's struggling with this and how his master is telling him to hold the bow in a certain way and how to release it. There's all this dramatic interest that he has in the subtleties of it. And literally about halfway through the book, you find out that this entire time, he's about 3 feet from the target. And the master was not going to allow him to aim at a target until he mastered how to stand, how to breathe,
mm-hmm.
how to look, how to hold it, how to be with his bow. And only then would he allow him to move back and even consider the target.
Mm-hmm.
We get surprised, and we can be surprised like that. We did years ago, we did these exercises where we worked very diligently with each other. And we worked with, in fact, there's been years and years before I even moved up here, I was working with a group that had, we were working with the GSR meters.
Mm-hmm.
And, and we worked with them in a certain way. And we worked up here, too. And there were certain processes we would go through. And at one point, we stopped using anything whatsoever. No meters, no technique. And we did this process where you just sense, can you sense the other person? And I was working with a particular person, Nancy. And I got to the place where I could sense when a thought would go through her mind.
Mm.
How did I do that? How did that happen? Because it was the electrical body was used to thinking in that way. She would verify it. Well, I wasn't just guessing. She'd say, aha. She'd say, got it. Yes. And then we'd flip it, and then she would get it. Because you stand then in a different place. You're not standing in the place of how am I as an a human biological machine. You're
trying to sense something about somebody else's electrical field.
Yeah. Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I don't have a picture, but I can hear you.
Okay, I think we went offline. We're going to continue speaking a little bit here and get the recording and everything. Okay, we're back up, and you guys need to refresh your screens. She just did it. She just reset it. I'm just going to continue on here quickly. We do not have time to analyze every little detail of the functioning of the machine. A complex analysis would be too time-consuming, too complex. Of course we don't need to do that. And then jumping ahead a couple of paragraphs, at the same time, blockages in the neuromuscular system disappear, allowing the whole neural network to flow more freely. The entire body becomes a more effective electrical field, which has an exact effect on the electrical field, which we call the essential self. Electricity in the body, I'm right near the end of the paragraph, is electricity in the body, which had formed into eddies and disturbances because of the distortion factors stored in the muscles and the nervous system, is free to flow. As it did during early childhood, before conditioning and inhibitors were imposed by life experiences and suggestions by mimicry of others, and the original shape and condition of the electrical field is restored in general. The electromagnetic anomalies do not reoccur once they have been eliminated. Information and memory are not lost. Actually, they are enhanced because they become more accessible now that we have eliminated. Now that we have...
Do we have people here?
Now, I'll read that. We're going to take a... We're rebooting now, guys.
Can you hear it?
Mike, so, all the phone guys
yeah.
can hear me. Recording is still continuing. And
yeah. But we did get down to that good last paragraph.
Yeah.
That was that's good news. that's really a happy ending, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but the last sentence is critical.
It started getting worse. That's why. You had a little slip and then it really.
Okay. Is it up and running again?
No, it has to be moved.
Okay. We're taking about a 2-minute break here. And then we'll be back up.
Way online and not on the phone. Okay.
Wow. Pretty. Ah, you're back.
I think we're back up, Mike.
Yeah, I got a picture.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's good.
And why don't you go over to the other computer then, Molly? Okay, we're back up, and we're going to continue now. We took a little break. And where we were is we were reading the last paragraph in Chapter 11 of The Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus. I'm going to start that paragraph again. The electromagnetic anomalies do not recur once they have been eliminated. Information and memory are not lost. Actually, they are enhanced because they become more accessible now that we have eliminated the painful and unwanted electrical field distortions which surround them. Make sense?
It's
tell me.
Great ending. Happy ending. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is something, this is the, to have a free-flowing electrical field, it sounds pretty exciting.
It's very exciting. And what does it mean to be free, then?
Mm.
Doesn't this give a different
mm-hmm.
view?
Mm-hmm.
And aren't we empowered here? We're not dependent on someone else. We're empowered in that if we can find ways to work on our electrical field,
mm-hmm.
and we can, if we look for ways to safely, and you can consult each other, how to stimulate and re-stimulate these electrical anomalies, then we can find pathways to new ideas. And like I said, sometimes even in my job, I see individuals that are stuck because they just don't see something new. And I want to pose something, and I actually thought of this, and I wanted Silverdale to make a comment and see if it makes any sense. And it's like that I suspect that as we show the machine something better, that means that it can be a transformational apparatus, that it can see the essential self, that it will turn its attention in a way away from life in the world. It will be less in the world, because it certainly is of the world. But when we have taken the time to begin to repair these various areas, and it smells freedom of these electrical anomalies, these stuckednesses.
Eddies.
These eddies.
Eddies in the river.
Stick us there, yeah.
Yeah.
We get stuck in them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it begins to see a way out, I think it has an effect on the global human biological machine, whereby it can become a more potent transformational apparatus. Huh?
No, that's really wonderful.
How's that sound?
Yeah, that's big thinking there.
Big thinking.
But that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense that we would, as we transform ourselves, then we are going to have an effect on other electrical fields. So transformation could be a regenerative process for down the line for a lot of people.
It will be.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it, once you begin to get a taste of it, you can't. You don't want to get out of the tub, as they say. It's hard to start it. And what we learned last time, Mike, are there any comments that you want to read from the log, or did we learn?
Well,
that?
it's been quite a bit, and I got overwhelmed. I'm trying to way back there with the dog. Some things there, let's see. There's not one single thread here that I can pick up. Zazen said way back, he said, the dog receives an electrical signal. Is fear present or is no fear present? When I remain calm, relaxed in the face of my human biological machine's hostility, the electrical energy may not create an anomaly.
Well, it raises an interesting point, because I guarantee you that if your electrical field becomes different in that event, the dog will become different.
Ah.
You'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Experiment with these things. Go out and experiment with this electrical field that you're carrying around. Experiment with it and see what happens. It's fascinating. Just fascinating. Well, we're getting close to our hour. I don't know exactly where we are. I think we're good about it. And I want to introduce us, and I really encourage you to read ahead in Chapter 12. Chapter 12 is The Essential Self as an Electrical Field. What a stirring chapter this is. I'm going to read the header, and we'll read it again next week, but it'll get us started. Information in the evolutionary sense is transmitted listen here, by impingement of one electrical field upon another, the electrical field of the essential self undergoes the exact change necessary to free it from its compulsive electrical affinity for the human biological machine. What the heck does that mean?
We're going to have a lot of work to do.
Oh, my gosh.
Chapter 12.
Hopefully it's really short. So I really appreciate everybody coming this evening, and I look forward to working with you. I haven't, I haven't been on the website in a couple of days, but do you have any thoughts about Chapter 11 and how you're working with repair of your machine? Post it up on the website so other people have a bit of a guide too. That way we work together and we find out and we get clues from each other on how to proceed.
I was on that website today.
Did you?
Good website, wingsofchaos.com.
Wingsofchaos.com,
mm-hmm.
And there's a section on HBM,
mm-hmm.
And many of the chapters, not all of them, are up.
And I was impressed with Sandra, what she wrote. She wrote some really good... she tried to answer the questions in the exercise for the exercise, and she really came up with some interesting ideas.
Thank you for that work, Sandra. And,
mm-hmm.
And do go on there. Share what your experiences are. Don't forget, people are coming to the book, and they've read it for the very first time, and they're trying to understand, what do these concepts mean? Look how hard we're having, the trouble we're having.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working together on it. We've been through it a few times. So leave little tracks and crumbs for others to help, for them to help find their way. So once again, thanks for coming. I look forward to seeing you next week, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock Pacific time for HDM Revisited. Good night.
Thank you, David and Marianne.
Thanks, David and Marianne.
Thank you.